No pants? No problem. Boomer in the Morning is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Pants? Who needs them?
I certainly don't.
I haven't worn pants in weeks. Just don't need. Who do I have to impress?
Exactly.
Although the Amazon delivery guy was a little unsure yesterday, but nonetheless, here we are. Team quarantine continues. It's Boomer, it's Brent Cron, it's Will Nault. Morning, fellas. How we doing?
Morning, boys.
Everything good? Yeah, we're here. We're all awake. Are we caffeinated? We're getting into it. We're ready to roll.
Yeah, we're into it. We're into it.
Can't wait. I ran out of my McDonald's K-Cups. Now I'm on to my Tim Hortons K-Cups.
Yeah. I'm going to be starting to run a little low on the caffeine department. Going to have to figure this out. I've gone, I'll tell you what, we talked about it before we left, the Good Guy Coffee Club, long since disbanded and gone. I'm a coffee diva. I don't enjoy the home brew. I just don't find it to be nearly as delicious. Well, here we are. It's all we got now. The sacrifices that clearly we're making. I'm now into, I had to, what do you call it? The Keurig. Don't even use the Keurig. Had to dig it out from under the shelving. Had to find K-Cups. It's, we're in a bad spot, man. Bad spot.
Exactly. Struggling, eh? Just struggling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not going to get any of those, you see. You can go fishing.
I know.
But with Jay at home in his underwear, you're not getting any of that.
I know.
So good effort.
I've been
good
floundering.
Effort by you. Well, walk me through. Let's just get started. A very quick synopsis of your Monday. I'll give you mine first. End of the show. Went upstairs. Went right to the puzzle. Got after it. Put in a solid couple hours because you know if you've done any kind of puzzling, if you're a jigsaw aficionado or enthusiast, as I'm, those last little bit when you have all the like, say it's the sky. And you have different shades of blue. It takes a lot longer. It takes to finish it takes a lot of time. So it was probably a good 2 hours that I had to put in order to finish said puzzle, but I got it done and felt very good about it. I've not taken it down yet, but that'll give me something to do today. I'll dismantle it and put it back in its box, start a fresh one. And then, tidied up a little bit. Tidied. There was some tidying going on in the kitchen. Made dinner. Watched episode one of Tiger King last night. It came highly recommended from someone I trust. So we watched episode one last night. And then called it a day. All in all, not a bad little Monday. Billy Boy, what was your Monday?
I left the house, boys. I got out of the house. Yeah, I had to get a car wash, so I did that and took the bottles to the bottle depot. Came back home, had a little napsy, and then made a little bit of dinner and finished the finale of Tiger King. That is where we're at.
Will, can you tell me the ending of Tiger King? Because I don't think I'll see.
No, I'd rather you didn't. I'd rather you not do that.
I'd rather just keep that to myself, Cron.
if you could not do that, that'd be appreciated.
I think
someone else in the show
just started it, so I don't know if that would be.
Oh, okay. Right.
Sure. What about you, Cron? What was the day? I saw the aquarium pic on Twitter.
Yeah, you know, it was subtle. I tried to slide it in there. So basically what happened was is right at 9 o'clock, I went downstairs. I started making reverse osmosis deionized water for my 90-gallon tank upstairs. I worked on the electrical components of the 90-gallon to get it all set up. Did that. Had a conference call with my work at 10:30 with just our group. And then carried on working, carrying 5-gallon pails of water up 2 flights of stairs to start pouring into my 90-gallon to get it ready. Had dinner. I did not make it. It was delicious. It had no breadcrumbs, though. Could have probably used some of your breadcrumbs.
Probably could have, yeah. I found that makes a difference.
Big difference. And then I had never seen Star Wars. I've never seen Star Wars. So started from zero or number one or whatever. And we're crushing out Star Wars last night. That was my day.
So are you doing it like with the prequels, the three prequels, or however many prequels there are? Or did you just go Star Wars 19 whatever, the oldest one, and then move forward?
I started in the 1977 one, the very first one, watched those three. And then went to go watch the one with Liam. I'm on Phantom Menace right now. I believe that's the actual number one. And I'm getting the whole history. I'm kind of half paying attention to the whole thing because it doesn't really interest me a ton. But as the graphics get better and this, you know, the acting gets better, then I'm kind of like, oh, well, I can wrap my head around this. But that's my mission now because you guys, I was, you know, obviously making it very difficult to find stuff to watch on TV yesterday.
Yeah, really hard, really tricky to find any content on the internet. Very tricky to find streaming or anything you can watch.
Exactly.
Now I'm looking at your Twitter, and you have put up a photo of the aquarium. So is that the big aquarium?
No, that's just the small little 30-gallon observation/quarantine tank that the fish have been in for roughly about a year and a half.
You have what, five in there?
Five in there, yeah. They look healthy. They're fat. They like to eat.
So we have we have one that's kind of a blue and yellow. There's a black one, one orange with black stripes, one a bright yellow, and one is red.
That's right. Exactly. Right, just like that, just five little guys swimming around. That black one, you see.
You had the challenge out there for people to name the fish. Did you have anyone succeed?
Well, see, and I should have been a bit more clear. When I say name them, I don't mean they actually have people names. I mean, what kind of fish are these? Like, can you name the genus of these fish? Can you tell me, you know, what kind of fish they are? Because they don't have names. They don't. They really don't. Some people were very creative on Twitter. I do give them that, but there's no people names for these bad boys. They're just my lovable, adorable fish on National Puppy Day.
Yeah, it was National Puppy Day. Put some work in on that. I don't mind telling you. I'm sniffing around. Mama is not a fan. So why would you not name those fish? Because they're all clearly recognizable compared to one another. None of them, because sometimes you look at a fish tank and there's a whole bunch of goldfish. Well, how do you know? These are five very distinct fish.
Absolutely. I don't think fish need names because you don't lie with them on the couch and watch movies. They eat and swim around and they're there for your relaxation. And eventually, once I develop a connection with one of them, that blackfish swimming around, I think he's leading the charge. He's got the most personality in the tank. He grunts. He gets, he knows when I'm going to feed him. He swims to the top of the water. He lets me hand feed him. So he's definitely showing the most human type of emotions and characteristics.
I think in the spirit of the show and the state of the show and in show prep and content, I mean, not every conversation can be about pieces of bread, but I think it would be great if we did, if people want to respond to @bcron3cron, label which fish, yellow, and then put a name, red, put a name. Let's come up with some names, because I think you should obviously name these fish. You name your dogs, and there's two of them, right?
I have different names for them, but they respond to their given names
I know. Like, say, the red fish, the red one, you could call him Red.
Or Jerry. You
know? Or Don Cherry, something like that. Call him
Randy?
Don. Are you able to sex the fish? Do we know if it's male names, female names? How does that work?
Well, these fish cannot be sexed. They can't, as far as I, well, they can, but not visually, except for that little tomato clownfish there, aka Red, as you have so
Red,
named him. The males are a bit smaller, so that's the only way we could tell is if one of the tomato clownfish got really big and the one stayed small, then you could sex them that way. But these other four, they all look the same.
All right. Let's do that. I'm going to respond. I'm going to take part because I'm excited.
I'm excited too, actually. This is getting my juices going. I like it.
And I think I'm going to go with Dawn for the red one. That just feels like feels like it came very quickly and organically. It feels
felt it.
So that's how big is that tank?
That's only a 30-gallon. That's it.
And how how big's the Big Daddy then?
Well, see here. Now that's a loaded question, Boo. So the one I'm currently setting up is a 90-gallon aquarium, so three times the size.
So almost three times as big.
Right, but then I have 187-gallon in my basement.
What?
187. That's lying empty. It was full at one point. The sump cracked and flooded my basement. But there's a 187-gallon aquarium sitting downstairs empty. That's the next step that these fish are going to go to as I purchase more.
So you're blowing right by the 90, right to the 187.
Well, the thing in this hobby is patience. So the 90-gallon, the fish are going to be in there for a couple years. And they're going to sit there. And then once they get too big for that, and then I'll fire up the 187. Gives me something to do, right? Gives me a little hobby, a little project.
Are you adding fish to the 90-gallon cron?
Oh, yes, sir. So once that fish, or once that tank starts, or sorry, says finish the nitrogen cycle, I'm going to plop these five bad boys, including Dawn, into the 90-gallon in a couple weeks, probably 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. See, doesn't it feel better? It's great.
It does actually feel a lot better. I like it. I really like it. I'm smiling right now.
Yeah.
Including Dawn.
That's Dawn.
Including Dawn. Donnie. Oh, Donnie.
Donnie.
The troublemaker.
Donnie boy.
Heart of gold. But he's got a heart of gold. He's a good man. Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
And then I'll be adding more. I'll be adding more.
Well, that's good.
So, yeah.
I can kind of get behind a little bit. What you're getting behind? I can see why that would be something that you would enjoy.
Yes, I love it. I love every second of it. See, you know, and for me, it just, you know what, I have done more work on this thing in the last, I don't know, 3 days than I have in probably a lifetime, too. So it's given me something to do when you're looking for something to do.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. See, now I feel like I've been wasting my time. I could have been doing an aquarium.
And you've contributed to mine, because you've named my little tomato clownfish Dawn. Donnie.
Yeah.
Donnie Clownfish. Nice. Well done.
Very good. The fan feedback line is open. We are here, and we're looking to let's get into this thing. At some point, I feel like I want to take phone calls. I don't want to overwhelm Ryan. And I don't feel like calls in the morning are the. I think everybody's a little bit not sure, but might be a thing to do. Might be a thing to do. 960-960. Good morning, boys. Thanks for all you do. Working at home, but still have the 960 routine. Keep up the great work. We're doing anything we can. If us waking up and doing this thing is of any help to anybody, we will do it until further notice. If you are a coffee diva, you should probably talk to your pals at Trail Appliances. Get yourself a real nice coffee maker. Nothing beats a freshly ground bean in the morning, Mr. Dean. I think that's a great idea. It feels kind of, to use some of the terminology of the day, it feels a little non-essential. You know what I mean? It feels like it's not really something I need to go out and go into a department store to go and acquire at this point. But I don't disagree. I don't disagree. But it's going to make a lot of noise in the morning, right? That kind of thing.
You might have to do that the night before. But.
Oh, that's going to go over. You'd have to be a legitimate crazy person to prefer Tim Hortons over freshly brewed coffee from home. I'm sorry, I do. I do. I prefer outside coffee. I can't lie. My hips don't lie. Won't do it.
You know what I'm going to do, Boom?
Yeah.
I'm going to dig into my Wildcat Coffee Company, Sandbagger Brew. That's what I'm going to do.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Mm-hmm. No, you're not.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Perfect timing.
Randy Redfish, Candy Blackfish, Beep Yellowfish, Bill Bluefish. Beep probably needs to be the yellow fish.
Yeah, Beep. That is done. That was easy. Wow. Dawn and Beep so far in 3 minutes. We got to make this last a bit longer. That's crazy.
That's right.
All right, so you can submit your votes, but already two are gone. So there's only two.
Classic.
This one coming in. Hey guys, having a hard time with social distancing. I don't feel like I'm doing my part because I'm still working. I work in a cold storage warehouse that stores food. They say we are an essential service, but I feel like I'm letting society down. What's your take? The longer this goes and the more info that we get and the more you see of people who are out there on the front lines, whether it's stocking grocery store shelves or working in hospitals and clinics or pharmacies, I have a ton of admiration for you people, because I feel like in your heart you want to be at home. You just want to be at home away from it all, but it is essential. Getting food, because trust me, as I sit here, I'm kind of in another spot where, with a family of five, I can only stock this house with fresh food for so long. And I feel like today I need to go out again, as we're starting to run low on things. But I feel guilty about doing it. But knowing that there's food on the shelves and that I can quickly run out and be relatively safe about it, get in, get out, that is, it's a real feeling of comfort, I know, for me, and I think for a lot of people. With all of this going on, to not have to worry about that chain, that supply chain, it's huge comfort at this point. So the fact that you're storing food and you're keeping it moving, you're part of that chain. So don't feel
we need
badly.
You.
We need you. We absolutely do. And it right across the board. I was out yesterday, and you hear a siren, right? And it's like, well, something's not right. Either someone needs help, or there's a fire, or something, and people are out keeping our society going. So. Right across the board, we feel you and we thank you, and again, feeling like this is really kind of silly to be doing this. I work for Calgary Transit. So far, they haven't shut us down. Doing it again today, but who knows what will happen? Well, again, That feels kind of like it's essential for people that are still having to go out and work that need transit to get there. But I get it, man. If you're in that C train or driving that bus or whatever, I understand how you must feel. There are no answers. You know, I've got it in my notes here that the NHL, the Board of Governors, had a conference call yesterday with Gary Bettman and Bill Daly. So like the big, right? These are millionaires who run huge companies and all of this. They must have been just, and basically what I've come to understand about it, they sat around, all of them, on this conference call. Nobody had any answers. We don't know what's happening. We don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know what to tell you right now other than just hang in. Like there's nothing you can say. Oh, we're going to start the league June 1st. Well, you don't know that. July 1st. Don't know that. There's just so many unknowns. So we're all in this together, man. We're all appreciative of everybody else. I think that, well, again, I haven't been out a whole bunch, but the few times I've had to run out, it definitely feels like people, there's not as many people. I mean, the traffic reports, you hear them. There's just very little going on. So just continue to do it. Like everybody else, I believe that this staying at home and social distancing is the right thing to do, and the hand washing and steering, you know, 6 feet, 6 meters or whatever it is, I feel like that's doing your part. I feel like we're all doing our part here, unlike, you know, the people on the beach in Florida. Those videos still are crazy, right? Have you seen those?
It's insane.
I don't get it.
Or like the entire state of California in lockdown, but there's people running without shirts on along Hermosa Beach, and I'm like, okay, well,
yeah.
Then TV stations interview them, and they're like, well, I don't really care. I don't really see it as a big risk. It's like, well, you're not really understanding how this works and how this virus spreads. You know, that's a big part of it, right?
Yeah.
Well, I read a report yesterday too saying that California parks, like whatever, Disneyland and California Adventure Park, they're locking their gates, or they're thinking about it because they've seen a surge in people trying to get in one last time. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. We'll break here. It is 6:23. Coming up on the show today, we'll talk to Stephen Brunt at 7:05. We have got Dan McKenzie, who is the CHL president. The CHL named a president for the first time last year. Dan McKenzie came on and now has to deal with something that no commissioner, no president has ever had to deal with in their lifetime. So we'll talk about that. As the CHL announced yesterday, that across the country that the playoffs and the Memorial Cup are over. They will not be held in 2020. And former Flame Ron Stern, how is Ron
Big deal,
Stern handling?
Ron Stern.
Yeah, and I think he's probably got some good Cron stories because you two are former co-workers. You were an employee of his. So I would think we could really get into the work ethic and the durability and reliability of Brent Cron in the workplace. He's probably got some stories for us. Just a guess. But when we come back, Bill's going to fire up the simulator. The fake Flames and fake Sharks were on the ice last night. We found that this simulator is as good as it gets. It's incredibly accurate, truthful, and true to form. Flames have been giving up early goals. All of this, it really seems like it's working, this simulator, as the Flames continue their fake march to the fake playoffs. So Bill's going to fire up the simulator, and we'll relive the fake Flames and Sharks when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the basement, in the morning. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in the basement. Continuing on here with Boomer in the morning in the Basement Systems Boomer Basement. That's how we're gonna roll. The guests of the show today gonna join us on the guest hotline. Presentation of Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. A reminder: Atlas Pizza, the bar, closed to patrons, but they are open for business. Keep them in mind as you get into the afternoon. You think, what are we doing? Pickup delivery from Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar is in full swing. 403-248-3344. That's 248-3344. And Atlas Pizza, like many, I'll tell you what, like many, they would love your business right about now. You talk about things we keep in mind about being safe and being clean and distancing and all of that. There are ways we can help out the small businesses as well, because they are suffering. So keep them in mind as we move through this month of March, which is unlike any other that we've experienced. It's the 24th of March. It is 6:32. Had some snow overnight. Keep that in mind if you are on your way out the door this morning. Might take you again, traffic light. So, but don't sleep on the fact that it might be a little bit dodgy in terms of driving conditions. As we heard from Trace Ventura? Is that who's in today? Trace?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Trace Ventura. Right. Can never keep up. He's had a number of different names over the years. It's weird.
He sure has.
Not sure why.
It's confusing. It confuses me.
It can be. Yeah, it can be very, very confusing. Well, last night, men, we had fake Flames action. They were set to play the San Jose Sharks at the Dome, correct? Was it a home game last night? Is that what it was?
It was.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, game
yes,
two of course a three-game homestand. Yeah,
yeah, game just and again, tough one the other night on Saturday. They lost to the Tampa Bay Lightning in extra time, but got a point. And now the San Jose Sharks come in. They will not be a playoff team this year. We can only hope that the Flames took advantage. Again, we've put a lot of money into this for just this type of a situation. Should there ever be a worldwide crisis where we needed to simulate Flames games? It seemed like a long shot, I'll be honest. Corporate really had a hard time wondering why we needed to allocate these kind of funds. Who's laughing now? So Will Nault has the simulator and is set to give us the details, the fake Flames and the fake Sharks from the fake Dome last night. Let's do it.
All right, let's get into it. It was the Sharks and the Flames. It was game two of this three-game homestand. And boys, this one did not have an early goal in the first period. First goal of the game coming at 10:19 of that first period. Matthew Tkachuk's 24th of the year from Hamonic and Mangiapane. The Flames led 1-0 after 20. They outshot the Sharks 12-10 in the first period. Off to the second period we go. The Sharks tied it at 1 on a goal from Timo Meier, his 24th of the year, 3:32 into the second period, assisted by Evander Kane. The Flames would get it back to the lead back. Derek Ryan's 12th of the year, 8:32, 5 minutes later, from Dubé and Tobias Reeder, 2-1 Flames lead. And then just under 2 minutes after that, Matthew Tkachuk, second of the game, is 25th of the year from Giordano, and Elias Lindholm, the Flames, with a 3-1 advantage at the midway point of the second period. 14:40 of the period is when the four-goal period scoring would come to an end. Logan Couture's 18th of the year from Timo Meier and Erik Karlsson. The Flames led the Sharks 3-2 after 40 minutes of play. Shots in that second period were 11-7 in favor of the San Jose Sharks, who had the edge on the shot clock, 21-19 after 40. To the third we go. And on the very first shift of the third period, Sean Monahan's 25th of the year gave the Flames a 2-goal lead, as that one assisted by Rasmus Anderson and Johnny Gaudreau. The Sharks, they would come back and answer once again, though. 6:36, Thomas Hertl's 18th of the year cut the lead to 1 from Erik Karlsson and Kevin LeBanc. 4-3, Calgary had the lead. And Johnny Gaudreau would cap the scoring, his 22nd of the year at 14:41 from Lindholm and Michael Backlund. Flames victorious over the San Jose Sharks last night, 5-3 the final. They outshot the Sharks 16-9 in the third, 35-30 on the night. The Flames 0-1 on the power play all night long. San Jose did not have a man advantage. The refs put the whistles away for this one. So the Flames win it 5-3. They finish off the homestand tomorrow against the Anaheim Ducks. Aaron Dell made 30 stops on 35 shots, while Riddick made 27 stops on 30 shots. And the Flames move to 4-1-2 in 7 fake games this season.
Wow. The fake schedule has been good to them. Yeah. The fake schedule has been very good to the Flames.
Got to take advantage of those teams, right, Brent?
Absolutely, right? Those are winnable games. Those are sometimes they're hard to get up for, but the Sharks usually play the Flames pretty tight. Evander Kane usually gets in there and mucks things up, and Tkachuk is not afraid to answer the bell. This one had a real playoff atmosphere. They didn't give up the first goal. They played with the lead all night. Riddick came up with some big saves when they needed them, and it was just a solid game from start to finish, a full 60.
I'll tell you what, impressed, though, for Hertl to fight through that season-ending injury and find the scoreboard last night. That's, I got a lot of time for that guy. He's got some real guts to his game. Real guts.
He really
does.
Big
goal by Johnny there.
Didn't see it coming.
Big goal by Gaudreau to put that thing away. Now we know what I'm curious, I guess, a little bit about. Sean Monahan has been dropping the gloves. Maybe it goes back to that fight against Nugent Hopkins in that Oiler game, but he has had a real mean streak in his game.
Mm-hmm.
Did he drop the mitts for a third consecutive game, Bill?
No, he did. He stayed out of the box. The whole team was able to stay real disciplined. So very
must have had
very
a talk. Must have talked to him. Hey, the coach must have really sat him down and said, "Listen, I know that you're an S disturber out there, and you want to show, you want to really prove yourself. But we need
showing
your gloves
us the
on,
edge.
Son. Yeah, we need you. Need your gloves.
Well, you know, and we had him on. We had him on the show yesterday, Marty Gelina. He was in positive spirits. He was really good, but he got ejected in the second period of that game. Did you guys catch that?
What?
He was yelling and screaming at the referee and losing his mind. That's very uncharacteristic of Gelly, but he lost his marbles. I don't know what happened. I didn't get a chance to see the replay. They didn't show it on the Jumbotron. Once again, I was the e-bug
for
the game. But
they're big games.
Yeah, right, Marty?
He's a competitor.
Very emotional. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a competitor.
Lost his marbles there, boys.
Yeah.
Happens to everybody.
Poor Wes McCauley's just getting it with both ears.
That's right, yeah. Mouthy Gelina just spouting off. There's a chance we might get the real Brad Treliving tomorrow on the show. We'll have to ask him about this, the fighting that of Monahan, his prowess, and certainly Gelina.
And
almost costing his team.
If Gelina's actions are going to put him back in the press box, he can't have that on the bench.
Right?
He can't have that.
Or potential. A potential suspension maybe coming down the pipe, too.
Yeah. Got to be even keeled behind the bench.
They take their lead. Players take their lead from their coaches. You can't have them spouting off. So we have another game coming up tomorrow. The fake Ducks are in town to play the fake Flames. Been a long year for the Ducks. Flames have had some success, finally, in Anaheim and against the Ducks. So it'll be another opportunity for them to take advantage of a team that will not be playoff bound and add some more points to the old point column. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Is that is that rivalry between the Ducks and the Flames? Is that done? Is that dead? Do you think that's kind of over with now? Ducks have been so bad, and the Flames have been. Yeah, I do too.
I feel like enough of the competitors, the people who, like, because who's left? Getzlaff is left. And he's never been a guy who's stirred it up anyway. It was guys like Perry and Kessler and Bieksa and those kind of guys. They're long gone. So, yeah, I think that Flames have moved on. It's clearly the Oilers. No doubt about it now, right? Number one, for sure, number one rival for the Flames would be the Oilers.
I'm not upset about it.
Yeah, speaking of which, we have been given the green light via the National Hockey League being, and I think, we had a game last night, correct? Flames-Oilers were on the radio last night?
Yes, they were. Yeah, the rematch from late December, I believe.
Yeah, the December 27th game. Tonight and all week, we are going to replay some Flames games from earlier this season. Tonight, Flames-Oilers, January 11th. So that game will be broadcast tonight. The Jan 29 game will go Wednesday. February 1st game will go on Thursday. And then Friday, it'll be the Flames versus Predators. And if I recall, that was a thriller as that one came down the stretch, boys. I don't know if you remember that Halloween
game. Yeah, some sort of fancy goal to end it off. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I did, you know.
I didn't say who scored it.
Just wondering. So of those games, is one of them like the blowout? Where the Flames get absolutely tattooed? Like, we shouldn't be playing that game if that's what we got.
That's the February game, isn't it?
Was that the February game? Are we doing that one? February 11.
Or no, because Riddick threw his stick on the Wednesday game, and then the Saturday night game was the big beatdown.
Yeah, so that's
a good game nonetheless.
So we're replaying the 8-3 loss from February 1st. February 1st.
Let maybe retrace our steps on that. Not sure Flames fans need to have that one blasted into their ears a second time. We'll figure it out, I suppose. When we come back, we have some things to revisit. Some very important things have been happening on the air. We've been reaching out to you, the listener, to try and learn a little bit more about you. We had a online poll yesterday via my Twitter account. We will revisit the results and really sink our teeth into just what we are as a society, really learning who we are as people. As I just want to make sure here, we have 1 hour left. We've had just under 2,000 votes, which is crazy.
Whoa.
1,943 votes. We got about an hour left, but we can revisit when we come back and talk about puzzles. And also things that maybe Brent Cron can watch on TV, being that there's nothing to watch in the Brent Cron household, except Star Wars. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hey, Boom, nice couch. Wow, beige. Boomer in the morning, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Here in the Boomer basement... The Basement Systems, Boomer Basement. Here's the thing. I got to talk to the Lacey boys. If I'm going to be doing my show from down here, I don't want to be sucking in a bunch of radon or something. You know, if I'm going to be here for a long period of time, I should get this thing checked out. We are in the basement. Boomer in the Morning continues. Brent Cron and Will Nault. We got Riley back at the world headquarters. Appreciative of him. Hanging in there, still going in every day. We need somebody there. This show doesn't run unless somebody's at the controls. So we appreciate Riley for doing that. Coming up, Stephen Brunt after 7, as the Olympics are a no-go. The of course Dick Pound. We heard this yesterday. Yesterday we had Erica Weeb on, as Canada basically said we're not going. We're not going to the Olympics. You can try and milk this thing if you want. However, as of this morning, the Prime Minister of Japan has proposed postponing the Summer Olympics in Tokyo for a year, similar to what Dick Pound was suggesting yesterday. It seems as though everybody is starting to finally come around, to just common sense. Sometimes it's the hardest thing to find is common sense, but it seems like now... Canada pulling out, and they had to have known and had to have heard that country after country after country were poised to do the same thing if they did not do what they did, which is shut it down. So we'll talk with Brunt about that. Coming up as well, Dan McKenzie, CHL president. The Canadian Hockey League announcing yesterday that the playoffs and Memorial Cup championship will not take place this year, so that's not exactly a fun announcement to make. And as well, Ron Stern, former Flame, going to join us as well, just to find out how someone like Ron Stern is staying home and self-isolating. The self-isolation tour continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Now, I had said yesterday one of the things that I've done. It's a good time. We're all at home. We're killing time. Pick up a new hobby. Do something that you've not done before. Reach out. Try something different. And my thing was I wanted to, because paying for breadcrumbs, paying for croutons seems silly when you're already paying for bread. A little known fact that breadcrumbs actually just finely mulched and shredded
no.
bread. Yeah. Yeah. It's actually bread. So you've got bread.
What?
Why buy it twice? It just seems weird, right? So in my house, usually the last two end pieces, if not even the last couple, like on both, maybe you got four on each loaf that just don't get eaten in this house. I feel badly about it. It's kind of picky, but whatever. So rather than just turfing these things, I thought maybe I'm going to start making my own breadcrumbs. So I saved some of those end pieces, put some seasoning on them, dried them out, let them dry on a cookie sheet for a period of time, then put them in the food processor. And I, gentlemen, have myself a nice collection of very tasty seasoned breadcrumbs, which I then used in some meatballs the other night. Also, what I'm doing is going to make some croutons now. Croutons is next, but certainly the breadcrumbs are the start, which got us talking about the bread loaf. For the longest time, we've never eaten the last two pieces, the end pieces, the butt pieces, whatever people want to call them, the butt pieces. So I was quite sure, I was quite cocky and certain. Went to Twitter yesterday and threw a poll on my Twitter account, at 960 Boomer. And the question was, do you eat the two end pieces of a loaf of bread? There's less than an hour left, but I feel like, and it is close, but I feel like we can cover it now. And I'm stunned, guys. It's a good thing that I'm sitting down. Because the yeses have it in this poll. 53.2% of people say that they do eat the entire loaf, including the end pieces. I'm floored. I am floored. I'm in the no camp.
I'm also in the no we camp. All know.
And Cron,
yeah, see, I represent a third of the show, and I'm in the yes camp. I voted.
You're a yes
I said,
camp.
Damn right, I'm eating the ass end of the bread all day long. I love it.
See, this show, you're only on the 33% of the vote, Cron.
Exactly, right?
That's interesting.
Shocking how that works. Yeah.
So, just as you would any other piece, like in a sandwich, it's...
Well, let's be careful here. I'm not shooting for the end pieces all the time. Like that's not where I'm going when I open a brand new loaf of bread. I'm not reaching all the way to the back and to the front and pulling those two out first. But you know how everybody eats the middle right away, and then there's always those two pieces at the end. Mm-hmm. I will dive right in and either toast them up or just leave them as is and throw a couple pieces of ham in between, some cheese, some mayo, some mustard, some pickles. I'd love it. I don't notice a difference. I actually kind of don't mind it better because, yeah. I don't mind it. I like it. I like it. I'm a yes man all day long.
Riley, I don't want to catch you off guard. You got a lot going on there. You're a one man band back there. I'll come to you. Do you eat the end pieces of a loaf of bread?
No, I'm not an end piece guy.
Yeah.
Those usually find their way into the trash. The Sucks. Very end ones,
wow.
though, like I'll eat. I'll, as long as there's a little bit of bread on the backside of the piece, I'll eat it. But if it's the full end, I'm out.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, weird. I've dropped down to 25% in this little Sportsnet poll, morning show
say,
poll.
So what?
Yeah.
So what are we learning here? Do we have a tainted vote? Have people come in and rocked this vote?
Well, what I did was, is I called all my eating bread friends and said, right. Listen, this poll matters to me. We need to come out on top of this one. Whatever you got to do, find time, whatever, just squeeze it in. But you got to vote on this damn thing, please. Because we want to be winners for a change. And we are. Turns out we are.
Yeah. And yes, we had this discussion yesterday. You can toss the end pieces into brown sugar to keep it. So, yeah, I'm not saying there's no use for it. There's no use for it. It's just that I'm not going to. I've never used it to in as you would any other normal piece of bread inside the bread loaf. So I'm stunned. I am stunned.
It's nice to be blown away.
But you learn a lot, right? You learn a lot.
Do you look down on people that eat the
not
ends?
At all.
Like, do you judge them? No.
If
no.
anything, I
no judging here, Tom.
No.
If anything, I look inward.
Really?
I look at myself and wonder, maybe. So what if you're clearly in the minority? Not a huge bit of the minority, but still, you're under the 50 percentile. Maybe you need to rethink the way you're doing things. I'm not judgy. I'm
look inward.
I'll contemplate this deeply. This text coming in the fan feedback line, you can check in at 960-960. You guys disgust me. It's 2020. Hashtag all bread matters. It's never been racial. It's never been prejudice. It's not one of those things, I assure you. It was just there's always been softer bread. Always been softer bread. Kron hired a Russian bot farm to win his bread pool. Yeah, I feel like somebody's gone.
Yeah, I did.
I really do.
I sourced
I feel
it out.
As though, yeah, it's I rigged. Feel as though somebody has come in and tainted this vote. Makes a great homemade garlic bread, toasted heel of bread, bit of butter dipped in a cup of tea. Yeah, I've never done that.
No.
Tea. If I'm dipping anything in tea, it's got to be cookie-ish. It's got to be a sweet type of a thing.
I'm not a tea guy.
You know?
No.
How come?
You know, just don't like it. I'll have it every once in a while, but I just don't. It's not my thing. I don't like. I don't know how to say this without coming off really weird, so I'll just stop. How about that?
No, good. Now definitely going to need you to finish.
I mean, what do you dip in tea? Like, you don't dip anything in tea. It's bland. You don't add sugar to it. It's just an empty.
Well, you do. You can add sugar to it. A lot of people
like tea bags. I mean, you got to like discard the tea bag and it's hot and it's I don't know. Just everything about tea. I just don't really. Doesn't satisfy
because
me.
Because you have to discard a tea bag. That's why you don't drink it.
Well, I don't like stirring it around because then you have to take something out. You have to discard a tea bag. Whereas coffee, you maybe pour a little milk in, you stir it around, you're done. You don't have to discard anything out of the tea. Well, you have to take it out at some point. You got to wash the glass, right? It's one more step
you
don't need.
I'll meet you partway. The discarding of the tea bag is an extra step that you don't have in coffee. You don't have to take the coffee grounds out unless you're doing some goofy French press thing. But here would be my suggestion, Brent. I would say in this time of need, maybe see if there really is a love of tea somewhere in your life.
Mm-hmm. Where should I start? Earl Grey.
Do you have tea bags at home?
Lots of them, actually. No, I'm not a tea bagger. It's fun to say, and I don't really like those tea bags anywhere near my, coffee cup. So.
No, what about Mrs. Kron? Does Mrs. Kron enjoy...
Big fan. Big fan.
Oh, no.
What?
Go to break. Listen. Go to break. Go to
Tell
break.
Us.
Hey, Boom, those dishes aren't going to wash themselves. It's Boomer in the Morning. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Come on, put a little elbow grease into it.
I'll tell you what, having everybody at home all day, every day, you go through a lot more of everything. Obviously, food, milk, cereal, this sort of thing. Also, the dishes. Good Lord. Would it kill anybody else in this house to pick up a dish rag? These are things I'm dealing with. Very difficult time. 7:05. Welcome back to Team Quarantine. It's Boomer in the Basement. We've got Brent Cron and Will Nault both remotely at their places of residence. A lot of people, you just never know what's going to strike a chord with people. But there are a lot of people who enjoy tea, who really, quite honestly, don't understand where you're coming from, Cron. They feel like you're mm-hmm. really kind of an elitist. And secondly, we've been way off, apparently, on this heel of the bread thing. We'll get a definitive answer from our next guest. Let's chat with Stephen Brunt.
Stephen Brunt, brought to you by Hyperbia. Find the correct blend of performance, reliability, and affordability for your hosting service with Hyperbia. Details at hyperbia.ca, Calgary's local cloud.
All right, Stephen, we'll start with the heavy story. We'll get you up to speed.
Yes.
I've taken up, I don't know if we talked about it when you were on last week, but it's a good time now because we're all at home. Maybe start a hobby. Maybe you're into woodworking or something. Start something that you ordinarily just wouldn't have the time to do. One of the things I've done is taking the leftover pieces of bread from the bread bag, drying them, and then putting them into the food processor and using them as breadcrumbs. The other day, I made meatballs with the breadcrumbs seasoned. Delight. A delight. But the question was, do people eat ordinarily? Do you eat the whole loaf of bread, or do you leave the two end pieces? So we put the it out to the listeners. We've been talking about it for, God, a couple of days now. Put it on a Twitter poll yesterday on my Twitter account, and it's we're just under 2,000 votes, and 53% of the people who voted say they do eat the two end pieces of the loaf of bread. So I'll come to you in the Brunt household. Does every single slice of bread get eaten, or where do you sit on the butt pieces of bread?
I just want to go back. You said there were 2,000 responses on this?
That's correct.
The reach of this show is that as well, or the times in which we live. Maybe it's both.
It could
but be. That is, or the demographics of the audience. That's awesome.
Yeah. So in fairness, fantastic. there's 37 minutes left. We put it up yesterday morning. There's 37 minutes left, but I don't think the no's are going to catch the yes's. There's 1,953 people have voted.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is awesome. That is a democracy is a beautiful thing.
It is.
Yes, I think the end pieces get eaten here in the household. Yes.
Really?
Worst case, toast them up and feed them to the dog, right?
Well, see, now okay, but that I find would you use the end pieces like you would any other piece for it? You're going to sit down, have a delicious sandwich.
Yes.
Oh, look, it's the start of a new bread. I'm going to take this end piece and then the second piece. Is that how it would go, or do the end pieces get left until the end of the bread bag?
No, that's a different question, though, isn't it?
Okay.
Isn't that not a different question? I would say they get left generally to the end of the bread bag, but then you use them because they're tasty as well. The crusty part's good, right? Like, unless
I disagree.
Super stale,
I'm not a fan.
It sure
I'm
is.
I'm not a fan.
It sure is.
Yeah. I know my dad used to eat them. It was great for him. He had a great setup because I didn't like them, and he got all of them, so it was a good setup for him. But now in our house, those end pieces, they just never get used.
Man,
they
are used. We are very efficient in between me and the missus and the pooch. The bread all gets eaten around here.
Hmm. Okay, so now I need to dig a little deeper. Who eats more of the end pieces, you or the dog?
Well, the dog and I share generally. We have a breakfast thing where we share our toast.
Nice.
It's very important. And if I don't do it, if I deviate from that, the dog gets upset.
Well, sure.
So there's a whole routine that goes into that. So we share pretty much equally in the morning.
Okay.
So that's where the dog and I get to those end pieces.
I feel like we need another. It's time for another poll. We're really just scratching the surface on this bread loaf thing. But there is news. The Canadian Olympic group announced, I guess, what, 2 days ago now, a day and a half ago, they were not going to go. Regardless with the IOC, whatever, do whatever you're doing with your Olympic Games, we will not be going. And it sounded like there were a lot of other countries that were basically in that same spot, were waiting to allow the Olympics to do their own cancellation or postponement. because it sure sounded up until like 48 hours ago, they were being very almost deliberately stubborn about coming out with an announcement, but it sounds as though finally they've come to their senses and it will be postponed. I guess just your thoughts, the update from really this morning, I guess, and your thoughts just in general on there being a lack of 2020 Olympic Games.
Well, you know, someday when all of this other more important stuff is done, we will look back and try and figure out what just happened here, because it is odd. And I know people say, well, it's the IOC, what do you expect? But even for them, this has been a strange thing. We had Dick Pound on our radio show about 3.5 weeks ago, I guess. You know, mm-hmm. It feels like a year ago, but I think it was 3.5 weeks ago, maybe a month. And, you know, when this thing was starting to happen, it already happened in China, obviously. Italy was starting, it was happening. And he said, you know, he said that the kind of the go, no-go date for the Olympics was the first week in May, that you could not stage an Olympics unless you could green light it that far in advance. Because of, you know, obviously, logistically, it's massively complicated, right? It's just so, it's not like you can decide a week before, hey, let's do it. So that kind of, you know, and you kind of, so as time went on, you said, there is no way you can green light this thing in the first week in May. There's going to be no way. It's going to be too, you know, way too many unknowns. And that's before, you know, North America turned into what North America has turned into in the last couple of weeks. So it seemed self-evident that, you know, you of all the things you can't do, gathering the athletes of the world, you know, in one country, presumably still gathering fans and sponsors and all of those people in one country, bringing people, you know, into a kind of a mass gathering of any kind, that seemed pretty much verboten, right? You're not going to do that. But they didn't. There was nothing, you know, and everything else is being canceled and everything else is being postponed. Just, you know, just realistically, But the IOC, it's not just that they, you know, didn't say we're going to cancel this, or kind of said that Thomas Bach stood up and said, and the Japanese Prime Minister said, on we go. Like, the torch rally is going. The torch relay is happening, right? It was happening up until today, presumably. Like, they lit the thing in Greece, and they flew it over to Japan, and there was a crowd waiting for it, a smallest crowd, but a crowd. Like, they were going ahead. And, you know, against... You know, just defied all reason. And then Dick Pound, again, Dick Pound, truth teller, which has been kind of an interesting thing. You know, he's still on the IOC, said, I think yesterday, did an interview with Christine Brennan where he said it's not going to happen. And we had him on yesterday again, and he, you know, what he was doing was just being logical. He didn't actually have any insider information. He just said, look, if they're talking about postponement at this stage and they say they're going to get back to you in 2 weeks or a month, that means they're just looking for some other way to do it. This is not going to happen on schedule. And he was right. Mm-hmm. But I have no look. I'm very glad that the COC stepped up and got ahead of this and said we're not going. That our athletes aren't going. That was a reasonable response, and it was good to give our athletes clarity. It's incredibly hard, right? Like the window of opportunity for Olympic athletes is really narrow. A lot of them only get one shot at this. They train 4 years for it. All of their training is designed for them to peak at exactly, you know, that third or fourth week in July, first week in August of this year. And now all of that goes out the window. But, you know, most of them, they're having a hard time training now anyway, wherever they are in any sense. This is, you know, it's a shambles. Like, everything's a shambles right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, as I said, like, someday we'll look back and say, what the hell were they waiting for? It'll happen in presumably, you know, they're still not setting a date. I don't know if you noticed this. They're saying it's no later than summer 2021. But you know, it's going to happen in the summer of 2021, which is fine. Olympics have been canceled in the past. They were canceled twice during World War II. They were canceled during World War I, although that was the Olympics weren't then what they became. And, you know, the Olympics survived it. It's, you know, not ideal. But let's look out the window here and say, so what's ideal today? Except, you know, maybe some spring weather if you're lucky.
It's interesting to me. It speaks a little bit to the self-importance of the Olympic, just that whole group. I think they really, to me, they overestimate their importance to society. I think that they have a bigger place in their own mind. Because I think people, what if you were talking about the NFL season being canceled? There'd be the Olympics being gone, I think summer is going to come and go, and we'll survive. But it's these individual sports like hockey. If opening day in baseball is delayed by 1, 2, 2.5 months, that's what's going to hit home. I'm just still surprised that the Olympics, we saw it here, that they're begging for places to go and hold these Winter Olympic Games, and cities are voting not to get into bed with the IOC. I just wonder, you know, does it ever get to a point where the Olympics just don't make sense anymore?
Well, the short answer, I think, is yes. And I think they're already, you know, they've already been dealing with that, the idea that, you know, that unless you go to places where there's no accountability and no democracy, you know, see Russia or China, you're going to have problems, right? Where people will just, you know, where people aren't going to write blank checks. But look, you're absolutely, like, the arrogance of them is, yeah, that's absolutely, and has always been true. They'll, you know, they act like they're a parallel world government of some sort in Lausanne, right? That they're, you know, when that's, you know, Thomas Bach is the equivalent of a head of state, kind of, you know, and they have their own anthem and their own flag. You know, it's like they're a little country, a big country. But, you know, and that's, all of that's true. And it's all about money, which is also true, you know, for all of the, you know, the idealism, which, you know, you can, it's like religion. If you can choose to believe all of those kind of values that are attached to the Olympics, and maybe in the case of athletes and individual athletes, they certainly can be. And there's all kinds of admirable things that you, admirable people who are involved in the Olympics, and you can be inspired by the Olympics. But it's a business, folks. You know, it's a cash business, and so all of that's true. They are arrogant people who are greedy, right? They're arrogant, greedy, kind of autocratic capitalists. But that still doesn't explain this. Because, you know, the National Football League are capitalists, and Major League Baseball are capitalists, and the NHL are capitalists. They want to put on a show, and, you know, they want to entertain people. They want to make money. Yeah. And they all shut down. Right. Well, the NFL, we'll see. But I you know, and why did they do it? Because they looked around and said, this can't happen. Right. There's A, it's not responsible to even talk about it. But B, even practically, we can't do it. If they could, they would. So that's where, as I say, down the road, we'll be looking to say, what the hell were they thinking? And, you know, it'll be a little tiny footnote attached to this, you know, difficult stretch of history. But I'm all for saying they're the worst people in the world, because I generally believe that. But even the worst people in the world can be logical. Right? Rational. I just don't see them being rational here.
Yeah. I'm reading, again, stuff is coming up on online as we go. Dan Robson with Sportsnet has here that the games, although will take place, seem like they'll take place in 2021, will keep the name Tokyo 2020, and the flame will stay alive until then in Japan. So they're going to keep the flame going for a calendar year.
Good.
And the 2021 games, the 2020 games go in 2021, because that's.
Well, I don't think you're allowed to just blow out the holy flame, right? Isn't that the deal?
I guess not.
Like,
yeah, I don't.
Like
know.
You can't just put a little snuffer on it and say, "We'll do it again." Well, a guy will come out with a pack of matches and a year from now and light it. I don't think that goes against the holy flame stuff.
Right, because I'm sure that over the years, and its travels,
it's never
the
gone
flame
out.
Has never gone out. On
yeah,
to
I think
Olympics,
you know it's funny. I had a little bit of involvement in the torch relay in before Vancouver Whistler, and I believe there are people who, if they were put on a lie detector, might acknowledge that there were a couple of times that somebody had to pull out a Zippo.
No, really?
And get her going again.
So did you run
a Zippo?
A Zippo, yeah. Did you run it?
I did, you know, I was one of many, this is where, look, at the time it caused a big stink because I was one of the few media people who actually stood up and said, yeah, I did it. But there were a ton of people in the media who did it. You know, and we wrote about it at the Globe. The Globe did a whole section when I was at the Globe and Mail and we were rights holders as part of what was then Bell Globe Media. So that's how I got involved in all of the 2010 Olympic broadcast. But, we all wrote about our experience as part of a kind of a special supplement that was part of the Olympic coverage. So I ran a leg in Newfoundland, actually in Western Newfoundland, near where my place is. And it was, I always have to kind of, make people understand that I'm not a total dope, and I'm not totally immoral. You know, the torch relay is a commercial enterprise too. You know, it was sponsored by Coca-Cola. And the torch relay was not invented by the ancient Greeks or Baron de Coubertin. It was invented by the Nazis in 1936. So it doesn't have the most noble history, and I'm a huge skeptic when it came to the IOC. But you know, being with the other people who ran it, who were, you know, a wide variety of folks, the woman I was the first one that day, and the second one was a woman who was a school teacher in Corner Brook, who had little kids, who was really sick at the time, and actually died a few months after that, and I always think about her. And again, that's not Olympic worship or Coca-Cola worship. It's just a human thing, and I know what it meant to her. And I remember her going at the end and seeing her kids there. And so there's my Olympic torch memory. And if anybody wants to kick me again 10 years later for being part of it, I'm willing to take it.
Hey, listen, being a hypocrite is I'm at the front of that bus. I can criticize the Olympics and all that. If I was asked to do it, I'd absolutely do it, and I'd be honored and I'd be overwhelmed and all of that. I just think that's kind of natural. So do you still have your jogging suit? Do you have the gear?
I do, somewhere. Yeah, it's like a baggie though, right? It's like it wasn't exactly bespoke tailoring, right? It was like wearing a garbage bag. So I do think I have it somewhere. I remember having to hold my pants up as I jogged my however far it was. I thought that would be a bad look if I just dropped them there. And of course I also have my torch sitting around here somewhere, which they were happy to sell me for, like, you know, this was again, welcome to the wide-eyed world of Olympism. So what happened was, you run, you get your torch, right? They light it, Buddy lights it for you, off the magic flame. You run, you light the next person's torch, and then they run off. And it's got like a little, again, it's like a Bic lighter, right? It's got like a butane thing in it or something. Then they turn it off, and then they happily sell it to you for $300. And if you haven't got the $300, they take it. If you haven't got the $300, they take it back. So yeah, it's brilliant, right? Like, who's going to say no?
Yeah, no one's saying no.
So I still have it. Like, I, you know, it's not like it's in a like it's in my living room. It's next to, I have a Bobby Orr hockey stick that somebody gave me from the Canada Cup, which was, you know, was pretty. And I'm not a collector of things, so the two things are sitting down there, and the torch still has the smudges from it. From the flame on it. And occasionally somebody says, "What's that?" And I'll haul it out. And I think my kids took it to school, you know?
Sure.
But yeah, but I did pay full value for it. So, God knows where that money went.
Yeah. Somebody got it and spent it very quickly.
Thomas Bach's pool or something. His hot tub, yeah. Right? That's what it paid for.
Yeah. Some deck chairs around his swimming pool for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So we talked about this on the show a little bit earlier. The NHL Board of Governors had a conference call yesterday with Gary Bettman and Bill Daly. And from the sounds of it, basically it was we don't know anything. Just want you to know we don't know anything. There's no way to know anything. So there you go. That's what we know. I would have loved to have been on that conference call, although you'd have probably just hung up after about 3 minutes when it was clear that no one had any answers, because there are no answers to have. Mm-hmm. I just wonder between... Like baseball's opening day, when is a ball, like, do you, if you were to just go into Vegas, if it were open, and put money down, what would be the date of baseball's opening day? Because I know that people are starting to talk about just how far down the road that's going to be.
Yeah, well, it's funny there, you know, I get there's an odd service that sends me, unsolicited emails every once in a while about various things. And they sent me one yesterday about baseball opening day, and the over-under was July 1. So, again, it used to be June 1, yeah. The last one. So, you know, again, it's a fool's mug's game, right, to try and predict this stuff. And, you know, it looks like the United States is about to divert down a very different course, potentially opening up, which, you know, could be catastrophic from a public health standpoint. And, you know, again, but if they reopen their economy and say we're willing to allow a million people to die in order to get the economy going, does that mean they're going to want spectacle out there? They're going to want sports out there to distract people and make them happy. I don't know. I'm trying not to spend my entire day looking at statistical projections, but I think that there's the possibility that by sometime in June people take their foot off the brake a little bit and try and manage this in a more directed way rather than in a mass way. I'm still trying to figure out how you restart sports. Do you start it in one place? Do you have a little tournament in one city and do it? And let's say, Bill Daly threw out the idea of a 4-team tournament to determine so that they can raise the Stanley Cup. And one thing I do think is they're motivated. The English Premiership, those guys said, and Liverpool, I don't know if anybody follows soccer, but Liverpool have, locked up the title essentially at Christmas. And they still want to finish their season. They said, we're going to finish this season. Even if it goes into the fall, we're going to finish this season. The reason they're going to do that is because they've got TV contracts. And they're going to get paid for those games. And if those games aren't played, they don't get paid. Otherwise, it goes on to next year's contract, And I know, I think our deal with the National Hockey League, Rogers' deal with the National Hockey League, there are two different payouts. One is for the regular season, and one is for the playoffs. So the motivation to have some kind of a playoff from the league's point of view is incredibly strong. And what that would look like, obviously it's not going to be four rounds. I don't think, it's probably going to be some kind of a tournament. But I expect them to try until they absolutely cannot do it to get something in, as long as it doesn't butt up against the beginning of next season. So, is that hockey in July? It could be. Hockey in August? Who knows?
So we last talked to you, I guess it was on Friday, and because we have time, I don't know if you do, but we have time. If you need to go, by
I got means, I got nothing but time, boys.
We'll let you go. What take us through your weekend? What did it look like? The Brunt self isolation weekend.
It was I missed my 3 hours of isolated radio because I missed my gig. I'm actually kind of looking forward to that every day, but I did. Last night, Sportsnet reran Game 6 of the Game 4 of the 1992 American League Championship Series, mm-hmm. Jays versus the A's, Robbie Alomar's franchise-changing home run. So I wrote a column about being there that was on Sportsnet. It's probably still on Sportsnet.ca, so I did a little bit of writing. And then I watched the game last night, which was, I thoroughly enjoyed watching the game. Maybe just because it was something. But also because when I actually watch the game in the press box in Oakland, you don't really watch a game. Your head's down typing away, banging out a story. Yeah. So I actually got to watch it, and rather than look up and say, hey, what the hell just happened? Which is what you generally do when you're writing the deadline. You ask the guy next to you, hey, what's that? What was that cheer about? So I did that and, went for a couple of long walks and continued getting my office organized and, talked to my kids, delivered a couple of things to my kids in Toronto with, they went in the back of the car and I stayed in the front and they took the stuff out, talked to my family. I'm on, as of Saturday, I will be out of self-isolation following spring training, although I'm not sure what difference that's going to make.
Not much.
Puttering around the house, talking to the dog a lot. The dog and I are very close now.
The dog doesn't have
to isolate, right? Like my wife's down in the main. Yeah, my wife's down on the main floor. I'm upstairs, and the dog goes between us.
We had that conversation last week. It's like the real winner here are dogs. No one's yes. going off to work. No one's. It's like I can't believe you guys are still here. This is great. I'm so happy.
Okay. Dog is happy. Dog's very,
wondered,
very happy.
Because of course Joe Carter hits the home run to win it. But just, I'll never forget, and I've always wondered, if you were to do a statue or something outside of Rogers Center, that shot of Alomar with his arms in the air, just fractions of a second after teeing off on that home run in that game, that's the Toronto Blue Jay World Series era. That's what I think of. The first thing I think of is the Alomar home run.
That's when the dam broke. Right, because a lot of people listen might not be old enough to remember the ancient history of that team, but they were in the playoffs in 85, they were in the playoffs in 89, they were in the playoffs in 91, and they failed in each of those. And in 87, they had an unbelievable, they blew a 3-game lead over the Tigers in the last week of the season to lose the division. They were regarded as a team that choked. You know, even though, you know, the cast changed over those years, there were different players, but they were regarded kind of as a team that couldn't win the big one. And, you know, some teams get hit with that. You know, the Buffalo Bills got hit with that label, even though they made it to four Super Bowls, you know, which is unbelievable, four in a row. So, you know, and they were winning, and they were up 2-1 in that series, but they were down in that game. They were down 6-1 going into the eighth inning, and Dennis Eckersley was the closer for the A's, and he was the MVP that year and the Cy Young Award winner that year. So game was over, right? Like, again, the piece I wrote was about, I was sitting in the press box. My job was to make the dinner reservations for the Toronto guys because we all had our stories written.
Yeah.
We're done.
They're
just watching it play out. Yeah, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here early and go to San Francisco and have a nice dinner. And then Robbie, you know, they clawed back, and then Robbie hit the home run to tie it. They won it in 11, and then he ended up winning that series and beating the mighty A's in 6. And, you know, history tells you what happened after that, the first World Series. So, yeah, it was huge. But I'll tell you, the best part about watching that game last night was watching Robbie Alomar, period. Not just the home run, but you realized, you know, he was the MVP of that series. But he made a couple of beautiful plays in the field, too. You know, he cut down the potential winning run at the plate in the bottom of the ninth inning, which I'd totally forgotten about. You know, sharp ground ball to second base and threw out a pinch runner by about 4 feet. You know, and just the kind of elegance and efficiency and beauty of the way he played.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man, what a ball player that guy was. And it's, you know, I hope people watched that and just said, that's why the guy's in the Hall of Fame.
There's an article on Sportsnet.ca. It is not yours, although I kind of went looking for it, but it's in the big reads. And basically, I should find out who wrote this thing. Give him some credit here. Evan Rosser has written this. And basically, he walks through the game, and it's just quotes that he is, or that have been out there from Jerry Howarth, Roberto Alomar, Dave Winfield, players that were on the field or that were a part of that game. And as the game goes along, he just kind of inserts the quotes. And for that one, Alomar, his quote, "I had a 2-2 count. I was dealing with sun and shadows. I could barely see the ball. I was only looking for an area. If he threw a slider, it was very tough to see. I was only concentrating on one little area, and I lucked out. I got that pitch. I knew it was gone. Maybe Joe Carter didn't think it was gone. He said, 'Run, Robbie, run.'" Jerry Howarth says he threw his hands up into the air. He knew when he hit it that it was gone. That tied the game, and then the Blue Jays won it in extra innings.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's, you know,
at
and
that
it's right
particular,
the light.
Yeah, at that particular
I forgot
point,
about the light thing.
Right. At that particular point, there was a little bit of choker label put on the Blue Jays that they couldn't win the big one, but that one got them past that particular label and on their way towards greatness. I mean, you're right.
That was the biggest moment in franchise history, I will always believe, you know, because it, as I say, it just changed that. And that team, you know, that was the other part about that game. You know, Jack Morris, they brought in Jack Morris in 92 after, you know, he was crazy good in 91, winning the World Series with the Twins. Pitched the complete, you know, 10-inning complete game shutout in Game 7 of the World Series to win the World Series. So they bring in Mr. Clutch, right? Jack Morris, he's the guy, you know. Morris, you know, gave up 5 runs in 3 innings in that game. That's how they ended up being down 6-1. You know, and it tells you something, that team didn't fold after that, after, you know, Mr. Ace goes out there and drops the ball. That they fought back and fought back, and then they fought back again against a guy who was the best closer in baseball that year. So, yeah, it was weird getting excited watching it, and then after that, I know you guys, you know, the Leafs are a divisive issue out there, but then I watched the game six of the 93 semifinals, the conference finals against Gretzky and the Kings, the Carey Fraser miss on the Gretzky slash.
Yep.
That was on last night, too. Carey Fraser, that's still worth watching, to watch Carey Fraser, you know, the thought balloon above his head saying, okay, that's 5 for Gretzky, right? No, I can't do that. I can't do that in overtime in a playoff game. Might be a decider here, right, in overtime. Yeah, it is an interesting look at, you know, you can look into his eyes and see the fear, and I don't, as a human being, I do not blame him.
All right, Steve. Well, take care of yourself. Really appreciate it. We'll catch up later this week. Come up with something interesting.
I'll do my best.
Yeah.
See you guys.
Appreciate it.
Stephen Brunt, brought to you by Hyperbia. Find the correct blend of performance, reliability, and affordability for your hosting service with Hyperbia. Details at hyperbia.ca, Calgary's local cloud.
I don't know what it says about us, because I totally know what... Now, I didn't watch it, but if it were on, I would absolutely watch that. And you would. You'd still get that pit in your stomach watching it like you did back then. I don't know what that... Is that just... Is that what makes sports great? Is that an indication as to who we are as sports fans or Canadians? I don't know. But to be sitting there and watching that, even knowing exactly... There should be no need for you to have any anxiety or any even level of excitement watching. But you do. You get into it as a here comes that big play, and you get watching it. It's a funny thing, man. I mean, are we crazy as sports fans, Croner, or what is it? I don't know.
No, you know what? I often find myself too, like the time just stops. You need something to believe in, you need something to cheer for, to cheer against, because you go to work every day, you sit there and like, ah, get me out of here, I don't want to do this. And you go back, you look forward to your teams playing that night, and there are certain moments where you just lose yourself in it. And I find my palms get sweaty. I get nervous. I sit there, you hold your breath, you're waiting. I can't explain it, but it's an awesome feeling when you get into a game like that. Just time stands still. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, we need a break. We went long. Coming up, Dan McKenzie is the CHL president. And as president, had to make a very tough announcement yesterday that there will be no playoffs, there will be no Memorial Cup champion in 2020. We'll get to him coming up in a little bit. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Get down.
Time to take out the trash. No, seriously, it smells in here. Boomer in the Morning is on quarantine. 960, The Fan.
Welcome back to the show. We're here in the Basement Systems Boomer Basement. As we continue on here on your Tuesday morning, 7:43, it's just wave after wave of announcements these days. Cancellations, postponements, you name it. We find out this morning that it is official. The 2020 Summer Olympics will not take place. They will. The tentative plan is to do it in the summer of 2021. And also some announcements. An announcement came out recently that was... Again, another one of those things where it felt inevitable, and at the end of the day, it really was. Dan McKenzie is our guest. He joins us here on the guest hotline for Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, the CHL president. Dan, I appreciate you coming on. I know you've done a lot of media in the last few hours, and I wish it were under different circumstances, but do you take the cancellation of the playoffs in the Canadian Hockey League, the cancellation of the Memorial Cup? There's no way you can take any satisfaction, obviously, out of it, but does it make it a little bit easier at all knowing that the entire junior hockey world will hear this decision that was made and know that it was the right thing, it was the only thing that you could do?
Well, firstly, guys, thanks for having me on. I appreciate you making the time. It was a really hard decision, and you know, we're extremely disappointed. I'm personally disappointed, given this was going to be my first Memorial Cup as mm-hmm. the president of the CHL. So, based on what you're saying, I mean, the reality is that it was the right decision. I mean, we take the health of our players and our fans and the communities we play pretty seriously, and as we went through all the machinations in terms of how to move forward, it just became really clear that the right decision was to cancel. Not unlike some of the other organizations that you just mentioned.
And it's an interesting thing. Like you said, you came on in 2019. This is one of the first things that no one has ever had to deal with, let alone in your spot. As the president of a company or of an organization, it's your job to find solutions, and this is a solution, but it is a cancellation. How many different, I guess, mile markers did you pass? Well, we're gonna postpone, and we'll wait until this date and see where we're at, and then this date and this date. It's like I say, it seemed inevitable, but how many contingencies did you walk through before finally coming to this decision?
Well, so the evening, Wednesday evening, a couple weeks ago, when Rudy Gobert ended up testing positive, that changed, I think, everybody's world in the sports world, right? The next day, we announced the suspension of our season, along with a variety of other leagues, both pro and amateur. you know, March 12th, we made the decision to, the three regional leagues made the decision to cancel their regular seasons. And then, you know, a date that was pretty important for us vis-a-vis the Memorial Cup was March 16th, and the last Monday. And that was the day that the provincial health officer in British Columbia, you know, issued the order that, you know, restricted mass gatherings to under 50 people. And the order, you know, went into effect until May 30th, which was right, and the Memorial Cup was right in that time window. So we took the next week to week and a half to really, you know, explore what the options were for us for both playoffs and Memorial Cup. And, you know, we looked at a variety of different scenarios, moving the Memorial Cup potentially in Kelowna, moving the Memorial Cup to another part of the country, a variety of different sort of scenarios we modeled out. And you know, we ultimately just determined that it was the best interest of everyone involved that, you know, we conclude the seasons, we cancel the Memorial Cup in Kelowna, and we move forward and really, you know, begin to start focusing on next season, because we felt that that was, again, in the best interest of the, in terms of the health and safety of our players and fans. The board of governors in all three leagues were really supportive of the decision. You know, and it kind of, when you take a step back, you realize that, you know, this is bigger than hockey, right? We're all dealing with this issue across our lives, our families. And again, it was the right thing to do, keeping in mind that, you know, the safety of our players and fans is critical. So, you know, again, as difficult as it's been, it was the right call.
CHL President Dan McKenzie is our guest here on Sportsnet. Will?
Dan, just curious. I know it's still very, very early, but I guess just the fallout here and what it maybe means for Kelowna, will they have a chance to host in 2021?
So, you know, firstly, you know, on behalf of the CHL, we're obviously very disappointed that we're not going to be able to kind of witness Kelowna's hospitality in May. We were looking forward. I was looking forward to that this May. They were on track to do a great job. So, you know, Bruce Hamilton, who owns the Kelowna Rockets, and their organizing committee did a great job through the process, and it's been really great to deal with as we've, you know, been working through all these scenarios over the past 10 days. So the plan is, so as you guys know, the Memorial Cup does, it's on a rotating schedule. So in 2021, the Memorial Cup will be hosted by the OHL. We don't know yet where, what city will be the host. That will be announced in the coming weeks. And then I think what we'll do is we'll work with the Western Hockey League, and Bruce and Kelowna on how to handle, you know, the Memorial Cup, going forward in terms of when it comes back to the West. And that, you know, will be a discussion that we'll tackle, you know, as we go forward. We don't really have an answer for that right now, but we'll deal with that, you know, in the future.
I guess just maybe a comment, because the toughest part here, as you mentioned, a really tough decision, but for a lot of these teams that didn't finish out their season in playoffs, I mean, I guess just maybe a thought on some of these graduating 20-year-olds that don't get to see the end of their career.
Yeah, it's terrible, and it, you know, I think the first thing we'd want to say to, you know, to our players is, first of all, thank you. I mean, it's been there were some great stories that evolved this season. We've got 1,600 players and team staff who worked really hard. You know, and I think the one thing that we're going to try to do, and we're going to spend some time on in the coming days and weeks, is, you know, working with our leagues on, you know, how we, you know, how we sort of celebrate the achievements and successes of the season, even though it was truncated. You know, how can we do, you know, what can we do there? You know, I think the other thing is that, you know, our athletes are not just athletes, they're also students, right? So there's also the whole schooling aspect to this. And the if you're a player and you're listening, I mean, obviously we canceled the season, your scholarship will not be affected as we go forward. You know, there are supports in place. We have a program that we are really proud of with the Canadian Mental Health Association called Talk Today. So if players are struggling with the news and the future and their future, I mean, we've got some supports in place, both with the teams and with, you know, organizations like the CMHA to help players, because we know, you know, just how difficult the time it is.
I guess just maybe the final one from me, because, you know, there's certainly, as you mentioned, we don't know what each day brings. Every week seems to be a new thing. This has now been beneficial, both the cancellation of the rest of your season and the Memorial Cup. What have the conversations been like with the NHL? Because obviously this will have an impact on the draft and the combine as well.
So those discussions are ongoing. We have a very, very strong partnership with the NHL. You know, I think they're in a bit of a different reality than we are, given again the fact that their players are pros, and that they, you know, their media deal situation is quite a bit different than ours in terms of, you know, they probably have a few more tools in the toolbox in terms of, you know, their return to play protocols. I know, you know, some of the pro leagues are looking at, you know, potentially in the future playing without, you know, without fans. That might be a way to move things along. In our world, you know, that just wasn't a possibility. Again, given the fact that our athletes are students, you know, we knew that if we were going to try to come back, we were going to have to do so in June when school was still in. So, you know, they just got a different set of options they can consider, and you know, we'll work with them when it comes to the draft and as they make their decisions on, you know, how it's all going to connect to both the end of the season and the beginning of the next season. We'll be sort of working hand in glove with them to make sure that we're working together.
Dan McKenzie is the president of the Canadian Hockey League, yesterday announcing that the playoffs and Memorial Cup for 2020 are canceled. My last one, and we'll let you go. A busy day, I know, as nothing is ever 100%. There is no. We don't ever all sing in harmony. I say that everybody has to appreciate and see that you had no choice. Did you get some blowback? Is there some small pocket out there that really doesn't understand or thinks that you're rushing to judgment?
You know, it's been interesting since the announcement was made last night. You know, we've done some monitoring of chatter, and by and large, no. I think as we said right off the top, I mean, this is bigger than hockey, right? They, you know, we're all dealing with this in our daily lives, and I think people have realized that you know, we need to again take the best interests of and the health and safety of you know, everyone involved to heart first. That's priority number one, and so you know, that's kind of where we've landed. I mean, I would have been, you know, in the boat a few weeks ago around, hey, we can, you know, this is not going to last that long. We can, you know, we can find a way to, but each day the information changed, right? And, you know, it's changing as we speak. So I think as we, you know, digested, you know, the events on the ground and you start to look at all the different options and the scope and scale of what we're dealing with, became more and more clear, there's been very little pushback, whether it be, you know, at the league levels, the governor levels, fans, media. I mean, I think most people have understood that, you know, again, this is bigger than hockey, you know, and in this country, sometimes we think that nothing's bigger than hockey, but it definitely is.
Dan, thanks. Appreciate this. It's the right thing to do, and I think everybody, if not 100%, that it's got to be close. The right thing, the only thing to do. Be well. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys, for having me. Appreciate it.
You bet. There's Dan McKenzie, CHL president. As, man, no Memorial Cup, no playoffs. 20-year-olds do not see their careers come to a close, and there will be some 19-year-olds who will move on in some fashion as well. It's interesting, Will, you asked about the Memorial Cup and could Kelowna do it next year. Friend of the show, Cam Moon, texted in. He's like, Kelowna, they made a bunch of their trades and everything for this season. They ramped up their team, so it'll be a very young team, a rebuilding team going into the 2021 season. So many things you don't even think about, right? When it really comes down to it. But what were they going to do? There's nothing they could do.
No,
had to.
And you
had no choice.
Can't host that thing in August or September. And at this point, it's kind of the only road they had to go down. So, as I said to Dan as well, feel for those graduating players that don't get a chance to close out their season. But this is kind of what they had to do. And good point by Moon that I didn't even think about, because every Memorial Cup host, you know, they load up for that, and Kelowna had that kind of taken right from under their feet. So feel bad for the Rockets, but we'll see. Maybe they get a shot at it when the WHL comes up on the cycle again in a few years.
We're at 7:56. We'll break here. We have, the Boomer, Brent Cron, Will Nault. We are all in self-isolation. We are at home. We are staying home doing this show from our respective homes. When we come back, another guy who is behind closed doors, former Flame Ron Stern. I'm looking for some Cron stories. I want to know what Sterney's been doing.
There's got to be good ones in the bank.
Yeah, there. I also need to know, just get a little bit deeper inside the puzzle, the enigma that is Brent Cron. We'll do that when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the basement in the morning. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
We are rolling through your Tuesday. It's 8:06. Boomer in the basement. Brent Cron, Will Nault. Separately, together, doing our part. Social distancing, self-isolation, whatever you want to call it.
And great music.
And we're just got to get a little funk going.
I love it.
Little kitchen dance party. Nothing wrong with that. We'll do some What You Want to Talk About coming up. 960-960 is the fan feedback line. But we like to kind of check in with, celebrities and see how the big wheels and the celebrities are coping with their self-isolation. Former Flame, Ron Stern joins us. Sterney, good morning. How are things in the Stern household?
They're pretty good so far. We're, day seven quarantine, self-quarantine, yeah. Self-isolation, so... pretty good.
Is it? Puzzles, cards, binge watching TV shows? How are you? What's the number one activity?
I knew you were going to go there. So yeah. I kind of hit rock bottom. I was playing Disney's version of Sorry, and I had to be the princesses with my daughter and my wife, and I got it handed to me pretty hard last night. They were laughing at me, picking at me. So I'm Lord of the Flies is starting to happen already.
Yeah. Well, today's a new day, right? You get that board back out. Get back on your horse, right? You've got to be resilient when it comes to that Sorry board game.
Agreed. And then I felt pretty good about myself. Have you guys watched The Tiger King on Netflix?
I watched the first episode last night. Will was saying the other day, you're through the entire thing now, Will, right?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing, Sterney. It's quite the adventure, I'll say that.
It makes us all look really, really normal. It really
and
does.
And smart, yeah, level-headed.
Smart, good dressers.
Thank God, I could use some of that, feeling normal.
I love that show was pretty, pretty funny.
Yeah, I got into it last night, so I'm excited. Maybe I'll find some time today to watch two episodes. I don't know. We'll see how the day goes.
It's worth your time for sure.
Yeah, it gets better with every episode. Boom, you just buckle up.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. So now, Ron, can you walk us through? Now you have a relationship, personal. Professional with Brent Cron. Can you walk us through, I guess, your first run-in with Brent Cron, your first memory of Cron as you know it?
Ooh, that's tough. So I'm not going to sewer him here because Brent, as you all know, I'm going to pump him up. Very.
I wish you would.
There. Very, very smart, very witty, very intelligent, very charismatic. Okay, there. You got it. You got it all, Brent.
That's enough.
No, I think what really happened is when Brent came to work with us, we knew what we were getting. I think he surpassed that. But I will say that I know what every coach that he had felt. Over the years.
Jeez.
So now, Cron, I'll go to you. Walk us through your initial meeting and experiences with Ron Stern.
Well, I got to give Sterney a ton of credit, right? I finished playing hockey.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was kind of looking for what to do next. And he actually helped me out a ton, put me to work on the rigs for Precision and got me a job working downtown. And then basically, that one thing led to another, and we became good buddies, and basically the cause of and solution to all my problems right now. So he deserves a ton of credit. I love the man. Just like that.
Notice how he said, just like cause to all his problems.
Yeah. No, I remember you'd check in with Kron, and he'd be downtown, and he'd be on his way to, it would just be a matter of which establishment he was going to meet up with Sterny and have a few drinks. It felt like that was kind of the thing for years. Is that how that rolled?
Yeah, Brent can work from pretty much anywhere, and all I asked of him was to stop, you know, sitting on patios to where everyone saw him. So a little self-isolation right now is probably serving him very well.
Yeah, it's been a grind, I'll tell you that. I'm getting a little stir-crazy. I'm itching to break the mechanical bull at Ranch Meats again, because they did let me on that thing. There is a 275-pound weight limit that I did manage to sneak on there, deceiving the young man that ran that ship, and in turn busted the head off the bull, and a few of the hydraulic hoses, I think, kind of were strained trying to rock me back and forth. It was a tough
and
day.
And the poor young man at Ranch was fired. That's unbelievable.
I know. Sterny, did you fire him? No, probably not. Hey, promoted him.
No, yeah, we pieced it back together.
Yeah. No, it's weird. It's almost as though Brent Kron would be instantly recognizable throughout the entire city. It's almost like he has a unique look about him that people would instantly know exactly who they're looking at.
Like Sasquatch.
Yeah, something like that. So was he any good at work? Was he a good worker? Did he get any work done?
Actually, very good. Yeah, I know we tease Brent a lot, but like I said, Brent's very charismatic and works hard, gets a lot done, gets more done, you know, in 15 minutes than a lot of people get done in 8 hours. So I'll give him definite kudos there. So that was the positive side. We won't talk about the negative.
The methods sometimes are in question, right? The end result seems to be there. Sometimes, you know, 60% of the time, it works every time. Score,
that 50-goal score that you absolutely loved on your team but just created total chaos scoring those 50, that's Brent.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got mine, right? Team player.
Yeah. How many goals did you get today?
Ron Stern, our guest here on the program. Sterny, 638 games, 75 goals, but people remember you for those PIMS, 2,077 PIMS, topping out in the 91-92 season with 338, 13 goals, 338 PIMS. What do you remember about 91-92?
Oh, gosh. Not much.
Nothing.
Been hitting the head a lot, not to make light of it. But I'm trying to remember what I binge-watched yesterday. Yeah, I think you go back in those days. For me, just being a part of the NHL, part of the Flames, was just great. We had a great team. It's ironic. I think if you look up the stats, Brent, this is something for you, that I think I lost game seven overtimes, and I think there's one that I won, and that was my last year in San Jose. So we had a great team for a lot of years and could have gone to the finals every year for about 4 years, 5 years in a row, and didn't happen, but still played with some great guys and some great memories.
I was looking at that. You guys had 12 guys in double-digit goals. You had 13. Otto had 13. Kerry Wilson, Doug Gilmore with 11. Ranheim, 23. Suter, 12. Reichel, 20. Neuendijk and Makarov with 22. Theo had 33. McInnes, 20 goals from the point, and Gary Roberts had 53.
Yeah. See, there you go. It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah.
Tell us a fight story, Sterny.
What's that?
Tell us a fight story. Who'd you fight? What is your best memory of fighting somebody? Big wheel, what'd you do? Did you get away? Did you run away?
So
did you sucker him? Did you slip and fall?
Yeah, I'll tell you the slip and fall. So, I was in Vancouver, and Jim Sanlak, who was our 6'4", 230-pound first rounder, lines up next to Dave Brown. And so the coach, I haven't played yet, of course, so I'm sitting on the bench, and Bob McCammon goes, "Stern, Sanlak." And I'm in my head, I'm going, "You're frigging kidding me." So I line up next to Dave Brown, and Dave Brown goes, "Did Bob send you out here to fight me?" I go, "Well, that's what he thinks." So he steps back, drops his gloves, stick, and I look at him, and I start laughing, and I just take off. So back in those days, he picks up his gloves, picks up his stick, keeps playing. Well, game goes on, and he's in the corner digging for the puck. I come, I got my gloves off, and I literally jump on his back and just start giving him noogies. He calmly pulls me off his back. Three punches. One misses one side of my face, then the other side of the face, and then the third one hit me right in the forehead. Down I went. I did the banana peel, vice grips, kind of got him down on the ground with me, and I said, "You know I had to do that." And he's like, "Yeah, don't worry about it, kid." And that was it. So then I come by to go into the dressing room, and the coach, our coach, looks at me and goes, "What were you thinking?" I'm like, "You sent me out for this."
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I love it.
Yeah, most of my fights aren't very, like, very cool where, I went out, challenged so-and-so, and, you know, really beat him up and proved a point. It was always, "Oh, God, this is going to hurt."
Hey, did you ever fight Domi or Probert or any of those big boys too? Similar story, or what happened there?
Yeah, I fought both. Nothing famous. Same thing in Vancouver. I don't know what the coach was doing, but I hadn't played all game. 21 years old, whatever it was. We're in Detroit. We're up 4-1. Coach goes, or we're down 4-1, sorry. Coach goes, "Stern, go have some fun." So I'm all excited. I jump on the ice, I'm waiting for the puck coming around the boards, and I get pasted from behind, and I do a spinorama, and I two-hand this guy across the back, drop my gloves, look up, and it's Probert. So I did the one vice grip, the second vice grip, and if you watch it on YouTube, it's a do-si-do. He keeps trying to get loose with his arm, and I keep going with him. So we spun around about six times. I think I slapped him once, and then I slipped on the banana peel again, and down we went.
Well, Sterny, how did you get to that point, too? Right? I mean, you know, you played in the queue, you were scoring goals, you were a machine out there, and then you kind of switch your role into sticking in the National Hockey League, kind of doing whatever it takes. Kind of explain that process for you, how you went from scoring to basically doing whatever it takes to stay in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, I think I realized at one point, they kept calling us up from the minors and go, "We're going to give you 4 or 5 games to kind of see how your development was going." And every time I got sent back down, I realized that you're having to fight a lot of people down in the minors, because every team has 5, 6 tough guys, whereas up top, you know, you might have 1 or 2 heavyweights per team. So I quickly realized that I couldn't really make that gap from a skill perspective. You know, guys are bigger, guys are stronger, guys are faster. So I just kind of went, do what you can do and play that role. I mean, back then we had Craig Cox in Vancouver. So if he was playing, I wasn't playing. If I was playing, he wasn't playing. So I just kind of, you know, everyone looked down the bench and someone's got to deal with that guy. And I'm kind of, okay, I'm at the end of the bench. I guess I'll deal with it just to stay. So it bought me time and, you know, created time and space for me to get to the net and, you know, get points and make plays. That was the biggest struggle, was just adapting to the speed of the game. And it bought me time, so I'd rather fight up top than fight in the minors.
Yeah, no, fair enough. You know what, and everybody's got such a tremendous amount of respect for you. I remember going for lunches with you, and Nieuwendyk was in town, or Mullen, or even, you know, Vernon, guys that you played with for a long time, and everybody has this tremendous amount of respect for you as a person and a hockey player. But, you know, I get tired of hearing all the good stuff all the time. Is there somebody that you think that just never liked you, never had it out for you, kind of gave you a hard time the whole way through. Do you have a person in mind that would kind of stood in your way there, maybe?
No, but I'm sure you do.
Yeah. A couple come to mind, but we'll save that for another day.
Good stuff, man. Yeah. I wanted to ask you, you go into San Jose. You're in Calgary for a long time. You go into San Jose with that Sharks team. By then, they'd been established. It wasn't like they were that they weren't an expansion team anymore. But what was it like going into San Jose?
It was great. Great organization. Treat the players amazingly. They really, really, really wanted to create a Stanley Cup team. You know, they everything they did was to win a cup. So, you know, whether they spent money, whether they didn't necessarily try and buy a team, they were very, you know, particular when what type of players they went to get, especially towards the end, to really put the pieces to the puzzle of the puzzle together. So I really felt for them, because I think they've done, you know, a lot right to try and create that winning team, and they've had a winning team for forever, just couldn't get over that hump. So, you know, I wish I could have been a piece of that puzzle, and I was for a little bit, and just ran out of time.
Well, and before we let you go, I'm just looking back to the trade. Traded from Vancouver with Kevin Guy and futures for Dana Murzyn. Who won that trade, Vancouver or Calgary?
You know, Dana and I joke quite a bit about it. I think, you know, it worked really well for Dana, and it worked really well for me. I came into a bigger team that I didn't have to play that role. I chose to, but I didn't have to. And I think in Vancouver I would have had to longer, so... you know, Brian Burke was there, Pat Quinn was there, just the utmost respect for those gentlemen, and I was very fortunate. I had a lot of people who took me under their wing and, you know, guided me, so very appreciative of the game and what it's done for me, and the, you know, the Gary Roberts, the Joe Nieuwendyks, the influences that they've had on my life and my career, so... all good. I can't believe you guys didn't bring up the Memorial Cup story.
I forgot about it. We got time.
I don't know if you have time. If not, you gotta look it up. There is a YouTube video.
Are you kidding me? If we got time.
We got all the time in the world, bud. Let's go.
So, playing junior, we go to the Memorial Cup, and first game, I think we lose by one goal, and long story short, the horn goes, I start a brawl, they get me off the ice, standing there. On the other side, looking across to the benches, everyone's picking up gloves, you know, all of a sudden I see a person jump down from the stands and pick up a glove and throw it at the other team's coach, and I quickly realize it's my sister. So now I jump back on the ice, jump into the pile. I'm up on the bench. We're all fighting, full-on brawl, police, everything. And my sister looks at me and she's like, I'm sorry, what do I do? I said, just get out of here and don't tell anyone you know me. So that happened. Long story short, I get suspended for a game in the Memorial Cup. I'm in the stands and I buy a 50-50 ticket. And not being very smart, I give them my name because I win, and they announce it. And the only person clapping is my coach, and we're getting killed 4-1. And the whole place is booing me, and because they mentioned my name. Anyways, needless to say, I think I got the penalty minute record. I think I beat Ken Baumgartner for that year. We weren't big enough, we weren't strong enough, but yeah, it came out that it was my sister coming to defend me, so my coach asked me if she could dress the next game.
But you got your money. You got your money.
It was $1,200 back in the day. Wow, I was a rich man.
Yeah. You were.
How long would it take you to earn that playing junior?
Well, yeah, I mean, $35 a week, wasn't it?
That's right.
Back in the day.
Yeah,
good and stuff. You know what? We were so happy. $35 a week. It didn't matter. We were playing the game of our lives, having a good time.
No question, man. No question. Well, it's good to talk to you. We're kind of calling up some old friends and chatting and BSing here. What's on the go today?
Working from home. Everyone's working. I got to kind of plug my company now, Data Scavenger, because when they find out I'm on the air and I didn't mention our company's name, so just throwing that out there. Brent knows that. just work from home. You know, everyone's kind of in the same boat, so trying to do online demos and reaching out to previous clients and just follow up with existing clients. So you do what you can. Right now, everyone realizes it's an unfortunate time. I mean, Alberta's been dealing with this for 5 years, and now we added, you know, more. Yeah. More to the country, so it's a bit of a struggle, but have a positive attitude, and we'll get through this.
We will. Good talking to you again, Sterny. Take care of yourself and your family. All right.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sterny.
Ron Stern. That is, you want to make an impact, right? You go to the Memorial Cup. You want to get noticed. You want to make an impact. That's how you do it.
It's a good story.
50-50, yeah. Scrap a couple times. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
It's 8:27. We'll come back. We have just some odds and ends as well. What you want to talk about? We'll go to the fan feedback line in a moment. A reminder: the guests of the program join us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Atlas, the bar, closed, but still wide open and ready for your business. Pick up delivery of their menu. Get on it. You can call 403-248-3344. Have some delicious Atlas pizza. Pizza, get anything off their menu. And like we say, pickup or delivery is open. 403-248-3344. We'll be right back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hey, Boom, nice couch. Wow, beige. Boomer in the morning, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Ah, yes. Doug Lacey's basement system. Boomer basement, as we continue on with the program. Here on the 24th of March, as we are self-isolated, Brent Cron in his home, Will Nault in his. And I sit here, yes, beside my beige couch as we continue to isolate here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Chesterfield,
that's such a great... when did it stop being a Chesterfield? What is it different than from a couch and a sofa? Is that all the same thing? I'm not sure.
I called it a Chesterfield my whole life until I basically moved to Calgary. And then it just became incorporated into my vocabulary that it is a couch. And it's not saying it goes province by province, but my parents called it a Chesterfield my whole life. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I can't pinpoint it. My kids would look at me and laugh. They'd be like, hey, go sit in the Chesterfield. They'd be like, oh, what's wrong with you? Did you just have a stroke there for 2 seconds and come back to life? Like, I don't know what a Chesterfield is. It makes no sense.
According to the Oxford English Dictionary, the use of the word Chesterfield was already used in England to describe a leather couch, a Chesterfield sofa, deep buttoned upholstery, rolled arms, equal back and arm height, and nail head trim. Interesting.
Oh, that makes that. I can picture it right now. I know exactly what a Chesterfield is because my Chesterfields were foam and garbage, right?
Yeah, that was a futon. A buttoned sofa normally made out of leather, arms and back of approximately the same height. All right. Well, there we go. That took 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Got to the bottom of that.
Good
I can thing. Confirm for those people that have been tuning in the last couple days, we have gotten to the end of our online poll. It is official. We had 1,977 people vote. On my Twitter account, at 960Boomer, do you eat the two end pieces of a loaf of bread? Yeses, take it. with 53.4% of the vote.
Exactly.
So there it is.
You know what? And we don't even need an award. We just need to know that we matter, and that there are people out there like us that like to eat both ends of the bread, and now we're recognized. All we want is recognition, and now we have it.
So I think I asked you earlier, though, right? If you were, so you're making a sandwich, and you're starting a new loaf of bread. Do you just grab those first two, like the end piece and then the second piece to make that, or do you dive in a little further, and then eventually, when the loaf of bread is over, then you eat the final two pieces?
Right. So I don't go hunting out the back end of the bread.
I'm not saying you're hunting it out. I'm just, because when you open a fresh loaf, it's right there. It's right there. You got to either take it or avoid it.
I can't pair it with a normal piece of toast or bread, though, right? So I'm going to avoid that first one and go through the loaf and then wait and savor for those two ends to be my final sandwich. Cut and dry. Pretty simple.
See, I'd like to debate you, but man, there's really not much I can do there.
No. It's airtight. Airtight.
It is. 53.4% of the vote. The vote has been rocked. It has been, we've rocked the vote.
Would you say those are shocking results, Dean?
I thought it would be no. I did not think that more people actually ate them than just because for me, it's just been kind of, okay, well, we're down to the last two pieces. The loaf's over. And they either go into the compost or... I need to reevaluate. I said it earlier. I got to look, spend a long time today, and luckily I have some time. Gonna take a long, hard look in the mirror and really reevaluate my bread usage.
Really, you should
take a look.
Deep questions are looming in your horizon, Dean.
They are. So, Bill, what's on the go today? As we tomorrow is Wednesday. I think we're going to have Matt Stajan with us on the show tomorrow, right? I think he's going to call in. We'll have him.
I hope so.
Working on some other guests as well as we continue to march our way through just as life goes, so we go. So that'll be tomorrow. We'll have Clean It Up. But for Billy, I'm going to start with you. What's on your Tuesday agenda?
Well, I've changed locales. So I'm now in Mahogany.
What's happening? Like you sound like you're underwater.
I'm underwater.
Can barely hear you.
I don't know why this Opal is treating me worse than Brent Cron with the exact same setup.
I don't think it's just... I think you have a faulty, you need a better headset or something.
It's the exact same headset Cron has, so it's very odd. But,
well, it's better now. Before it was you were completely muffled, but you're clearer weird. Now. Anyway,
I've changed locales, so I'm at my girlfriend's house in Mahogany. I will shovel the sidewalks today, and that'll be the immediacy after the show. Might do a puzzle, but that's really about it.
Huh. What about you, Cron?
Well, like I said yesterday, I found a 1,000-piece puzzle in my basement where I currently reside now. I said I was going to crack it open. I have not. So what I'm going to do is lie to you guys again today and say I'm going to do it at some point. I'm going to set it up, which I probably won't. I have a 10:30 conference call with my fellow employees and friends at Precision. And then I'm going to carry on hauling water up the stairs in 5-gallon buckets until my 90-gallon tank and the sump is full of reverse osmosis deionized water. And then settle
now,
for
what
a nice
about
dinner.
That, what about that game of life? Have you taken the wrapping off of that thing?
No, it's still in plastic, but I did find Battleship, the electronic version of Battleship. We just don't have any batteries, so that fit the appropriate slot. So we are making a call. We need to get some hamster food today, too. Hamsters are getting a little hungry in the house, and might have to step out.
Whoa, you have hamsters?
Whoa. Well, I don't. My daughters have hamsters. Yeah.
So plural?
Yeah. Well, like one has a hamster and the other has a hamster. We have two hamsters.
What are the names?
Chicken Nugget and I don't know the other one's name. I forget.
You so do. Get out of here.
No, I honestly
you
don't.
You are a liar. You are a filthy
no,
liar.
I don't.
It's you don't know.
It's Chicken Nugget and
you had a pause because you're like, I don't want to say it. I know what the name is, but I'm just going to pretend.
I can't. I will figure it out. But they both peed on me the first time I held them. And
oh,
now
that's
I
good.
Refuse to hang out with them. They're done.
That's great. So you
mango.
Need...
Mango. Chicken mango. Nugget and mango. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. You need hamster food.
Yeah. You have what do they eat? Seeds and nuts and this little brick that keeps them, I really don't know what they eat, but yeah, you've got to go to the pet store to get it, so that's what I'm going to do today.
Okay. You know, the puzzle, it's easier to do once you have it out of the box.
Right, it's still in plastic.
Mm-hmm. Once you actually take it out of the plastic and out of the box, it makes life a lot easier. So do you have a table that you could dedicate to the puzzle, or would you have to... Because we have like a board that we use. It's just kind of a, it's kind of flimsy, but still, we use it for the puzzle so that we can move it to different parts of the house if need be.
Right. We do have a table. It's been designated as a homework table now, because in our kitchen, and then we have a dining room that barely gets used, and that seems to be where all the laptops and stuff go, so we might just scrap school altogether, just shut it down, and just start working on 1,000-piece puzzles moving forward. We have a lazy Susan in the middle that we can turn it around. It's a sizable one, and it might work to our benefit, but I think that's going to be the puzzle table, potentially, if I can run it by the boss.
Can you keep us up to date on your Twitter today? I want to see your I need pictures. If you do get, rabbit food or gerbil
hamster food?
Hamster food.
Yes.
If I need to see the food, I want to see the table. I want to see the before and after of the opening of the puzzle. The pails of water.
All right. Yeah, I was gonna say, can you get one of your kids to take a picture of you with buckets of water in your hands? That'd be great.
Okay. I can do that. I'm good at
this
kind of
stuff. We're aching for entertainment, Kron.
Aching for Kron tent, perhaps? No? Is that
now have you organized this 90-gallon tank in terms of the stuff that goes in it?
The aquascape? It is aquascape.
Yes.
The water currently is fresh water. I'm gonna have to add some salt mix to it here this afternoon. Gotta heat it up. And it's getting one day closer. You know, the next phase while this tank is cycling is I'm going to have to paint my canopy for my lighting system, my LED lighting system that simulates the natural reef sunlight depending on area. So that's the next step. I got lots of things to do, boys. TV is not even on my list.
So why now? I know there's got to be an answer, but why is it taking you so long to fill this thing? Why is it like 2 pails a day? Can you not just fill it up?
Well, 90 gallons. I'm not sure if you know how much 90 gallons is. I have a 5-gallon bucket. I have a reverse osmosis deionization unit in the basement that makes 100 gallons of, you know, basically produced filtered water a day. But it takes time. I didn't get on it till mid-afternoon yesterday.
Oh, so you can't just it's not just tap water.
Right? You don't want the metals in your, you know, you got to filter all that stuff out and whatever else is in water, right? So I'm ready to go, boys. I'm excited. I got a fire deep inside, ready to go.
Yeah, that's heartburn.
It's indigestion.
Yeah, that's the food. That's the butt ends of the loaf that you've been eating. Adam Schefter on his Twitter just moments ago reporting that the Carolina Panthers expected to release Cam Newton today. When did we talk to Lackenfora late last week?
Would have thought it would have been
last Friday. I guess they were trying to work out a deal, but. But again,
nobody wants that contract, Dean.
Plus any concerns you have for any lingering injury. Now, of course, he's going to have to pass a medical before he signs a new contract, but how far they've fallen, right? If Cam Newton is going to enter the NFL now this season, if he's playing, you got to think it's as a backup to start. And
there's nothing really out there where he's going to go start.
Well, how far removed is he from the Super Bowl final that the Panthers went to? Like, that's like, what, 2 years, 3 years?
No,
something
it's, like that, quite, it's quite a while ago, but still he
really?
Was.
Hmm.
Well, when did the Panthers go to the...
Well, yeah, Peyton Manning was on the Denver team, so had to have been a few years ago. Yeah. Look at Kron answering questions without the answer on the air.
Good job,
love it.
good
job, sir. That was in
2016. No problem. Big deal. No big deal, buddy.
You got
no
it.
Big deal.
Right.
Okay.
No big deal.
2016, so 4 years ago. And the New England Patriots, they've gone and signed Brian Hoyer, so they're good. Hoyer for the third time. Good Lord. So they have what? Jared Stidham, Brian Hoyer, and Cody Kessler. That's quite a tumble from Tom Brady. Now, they may win football games, and like this Stidham might be all right, but that's quite a fall from grace.
Seriously.
From the GOAT to Cody Kessler.
Well, wow. it's like going from Kiprusoff to Ramo and Hiller, right? Like, that's kind of where you're going. You gotta work them both.
It's something like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or some other goalie who will go unnamed.
Fair enough.
When we come back, we will go to the fan feedback line 960-960, Tuesday edition of what you want to talk about when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Boomer in the Morning here in the basement. On the show tomorrow, like I said before the break, we expect Matt Stajan going to be a part of it. We'll also we're reaching out. We're moving. It's a weird time. We get that. Doing sports radio when there's no sports, you have to get a little creative. So we will we'll work away at it. We'll now, Cron, you'll be good to go for tomorrow. Will, you'll be good to go. We'll be good. I'm looking forward to tomorrow's show already. How have you found? I find that these shows fly by when
they
you're
do.
Doing them at home, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Kind of nice.
It's almost because it's. I almost feel like there. I feel like there's more I could do in a day. Usually, it's the entire day revolves around getting up, going into work, and all of that. Suddenly, I feel like there's no excuses for maybe doing
That's
more.
Right.
Yeah.
You've been liberated.
I have been. Let's wrap it up for your Tuesday with a rousing edition of What You Want to Talk About.
What you want to talk about with Boomer in the Morning. Brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. It's the month of the Ram sales event. Get the Ram 1500 with up to 30% off. VarsityChrysler.com. Come experience the Varsity value where everybody rides.
960-960 is how you can get part, how you take part in this part of the show. We take your questions, your thoughts, give you answers which are probably incorrect or very little worth or value. Newton to the Chargers. I guess the Chargers still are... Philip Rivers leaves for the Colts. They've not really replaced anybody. I'll be honest. I don't know what they have coming down the pipe as far as prospects. They got that brand new stadium. I don't. Maybe I'm crazy, but it didn't. When Cam Newton is right, he's nearly unstoppable. He's so big. You have to really you have to factor in the guy's what, 6'4". He's a monster. And yeah. He'll kill you both with his feet and with his eye. That's the fact that he's out there for basically just a contract is amazing to me. I saw something online. They were talking about number one picks, Jameis Winston, Jadeveon Clowney, and Cam Newton, all first overall selections, all out there as free agents right now, which is
crazy.
I mean, that's crazy. Any sport. That's
By the
crazy.
Way, the... Chargers have said they're going to go forward next year with Tyrod Taylor as their starting quarterback.
How is he still living? My goodness. Tyrod Taylor. Somebody taking into account your math. Cron, 90 gallons divided by 5, that's only 18 pails. I feed 34 pails of barley to the cows every day. So he is saying you should be able to handle that no problem.
Yeah, well, it takes about an hour to make 5 gallons of filtered water, right? That's my issue.
Gotcha.
It's not the manpower, strength, or work ethic. Hmm. It is all about I'm at the mercy of the RODI unit in my basement.
Great. Mm-hmm. I love it. This one coming in. I drive to work at 6. You guys are talking about Cron's fish. Go for a coffee at 8:45. You're still talking about the goddamn fish. Well, I assure you we did not talk about it in between, but for your purposes, yes. This is all fish, all Cron fish, all the time. You're welcome. You're welcome. Brent Cron is like that Kevin James movie Zookeeper with all these animals. Yeah, maybe you need to. It's like that Tiger King. You could have your own kind of animal park. Charge admission. Come in. You can entertain the people. Make everybody laugh and make some side cash.
Well, maybe I should start. I should change my whole wardrobe too, and just start wearing a zookeeper fatigues. Hey, the light beige pants and the beige collared shirt with a lot of pockets on it, and maybe a Crocodile Dundee hat with a side rolled up might not be a bad idea, and a scarf around my neck.
I just want to give props to Brent for his Krontent pun. Best one I've heard in a while, and you donkeys either didn't hear it or ignored it completely. Signed, Kron fan. Here's the thing.
Kron
did not come up with it. The term Krontent has been, we've been using it for a while now, that you must have just missed it. Trust me, Kron did not come up with Krontent.
No. No, I come up with lots. Good stuff, probably not.
Yeah, you come up with lots. That's right. Boom, where is Cam Moon? Cam Moon, I believe, is in Red Deer. He's going to be a part of the show. He doesn't know it yet, but he will be a part of the show.
yeah, good.
Because you two have a bit of a relationship. You two,
we do.
And I
we
would
do.
Say it's young, but it's a promising relationship. You two have something.
We're building our foundation. We're building our foundation right now, and it'll only get stronger as the years go by.
Chargers are full of it. They'll sign Cam Newton. I mean, Tyrod Taylor. When was he in Buffalo? It's like, but Tyrod Taylor's going to be the guy.
Four years ago. Yeah, he was in Cleveland with.
Went to Cleveland
Baker.
And then, yeah, gross.
He was their backup last year to Phil.
Kron's Memorial Cup story sounds like Slapshot. Sister joins the brawl, player wins the 50-50 while suspended. Unreal. Yeah, it does. It really does.
Yeah. I know. It's insane. Like, when I heard the first time Sterney told me that story, I couldn't even believe it. I thought that was a movie or something.
Yeah. Very nice. Krontent is the news of positivity in these crazy times. So, okay, listen, I'm down with Krontent. I am down with Krontent.
With giving him credit.
We'll get the production done. We'll get some bumpers and splitters, and we'll bring you some content. I have no problem with that because we have time to fill. And I'll be honest, this whole bread loaf thing has me I'm reeling a little bit, and I'm up for anything. Clearly, my eyes have been opened, and some things that maybe I feel don't work or wouldn't work would work just fine. So I'm down. I'm down for it. People love Kron.
I like it. I'm just me, Dean. I'm just me. I can't be anybody else. It's just me or nothing.
You or nothing. Billy, what's coming up after 9 here?
I think we're going to re-roll the chat we had with Dan McKenzie, the CHL president, as the CHL and the Memorial Cup have both canceled the remainder of their season, and of course the 14 tournament that was set to take place in May in Kelowna. And then about 9:30, Ryan Dixon from Sportsnet has been doing some work on what the NHL could or would look like. He's got 6 ideas of a resume for the Stanley Cup playoffs, and also how you can stay active. He's talked to a couple of NHL trainers. If you're bored at home and you don't want to get a barrel, we're going to try and see if we can get some tips for staying fit.
A barrel. Talk like that's a bad thing.
Never said that.
Nothing wrong with that. All right, buddies. Have a good Tuesday. We'll have a fun one for you tomorrow. Be good, be well, and we'll see you then. See you, buddies.
What you want to talk about with Boomer in the Morning. Brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. It's the month of the Ram sales event. Get the Ram 1500 with up to 30% off. VarsityChrysler.com. Come experience the Varsity value where everybody rides.